So welcome. It's great to have you. We're going to do things a little bit differently here today because I kind of thought it's COVID era and change is just what we do. And we kind of thought Father's Day, how good would it be to actually just speak about the Father's heart today? But we're going to do it in as a team here. And so I just want to introduce you, my guests here today. So firstly, we have John Deary, who has been with us since the very inception of the church. And by day, he is a medical professional. And then by night, he is a ninja table tennis player, who, which is great. And he's also a great father and dad as well. And so it's good to have him, dad to three. So let's put our hands together for John. We also have Daryl Wahapi, who is our youth pastor. You can tell by the way he's dressed that he's our youth pastor. And he was, if you didn't know, he was an aspiring professional rugby player back in his day. And which is amazing. You can see how that worked out. He became a youth pastor. So, and he's also a dad of three amazing kids and apparently still counting, yes. I believe. We're still counting, yes. So that's good. So let's put our hands together for Daryl. And then we have my good friend, Stuart Semple, who we affectionately call Prof. He is Prof to all of us, and he will tell you things about what the body can and can't do under stress and all kinds of things that'll blow your mind. So if you ever want to know any stuff, he's the guy to speak to about that. But he is a dad, a husband, and I've heard on good authority that he absolutely loves going shopping. Isn't that right, Stu? Clothes shopping. No, my sources must have been incorrect.
Definitely incorrect.
Anyways, let's put our hands together for these guys one more time. Great to have them here. As I said, what we're going to be doing today, we're going to be talking about the Father's heart. And we're going to look at it from two points of view. We're going to look at it at God's Father heart for us, and then we're going to look at how does that play out in our lives. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a few thoughts right up front, and then the team are actually going to help us as we just kind of unpack that a little bit. But I think when you talk about the Father's heart, you've got to understand that it's something that for everyone should experience it. Not just know about, but actually experience his Father heart in a very real and practical way. And it's at the very heart of the gospel and is literally what makes Christianity a relationship, not just a religion. And I think that's the thing that we really celebrate here. And I think the greatest example of God's Father heart is the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf, to pay the price for our sins that we could not pay, to stand in the gap that our sin had created between us and God the Father. And it actually said, Jesus said this in John chapter 14. He said this in verse 9. He says, anyone who has seen me, speaking about himself, he says, has seen the Father. And so when you look at Jesus, you see the heart of the Father being displayed in Jesus himself. And I know that for some of us here, we may have had great earthly dads. Maybe you're a great earthly dad yourself, and I think that's wonderful, and it's how it should be. But I'm also aware in days like today, days like today can be tinged with sadness for some, because sometimes your dad was maybe an absent dad or a missing dad, or maybe there's more pain associated when thinking about your dad than there is that sense of love. And my heart really goes out to you if that's who you are, whether you're here in this room or watching online. We say our hearts really go out to you on this Father's Day. But here's this thing, whether you've had a good dad or maybe an absent dad or a dad that perhaps wasn't a great dad, here's the thing I do know, is that we all have a Heavenly Father. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us completely. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us without failing. And no matter what your background or reality may be right now, that is true for all of us. And I've experienced that same truth in my own life, and it's helped me not be a perfect father, because there is no such thing except for God himself. But I do believe it's helped me to be a better father and the best father that my kids deserve to have. And now, as a entering into this whole grandfather phase, can't believe my granddaughter turned one. And just this week, it's gone too quickly, but I'm learning about fathering in another whole way as I engage with her like that. But you know, when I think about this thing of the Father's heart, there's a story in the Bible that jumps to mind. And it's the story of the prodigal son. Many of us may know it. It's found in Luke chapter 15. And if you don't know the story, it's about a father who has two sons. And one of his sons actually asks for his inheritance early from his dad. And his dad gives it to him. And it says that the son actually goes and squanders it, every last bit of what the father had given him. And he actually ends up ultimately living in a pigsty because he'd just blown it all. And the scripture says that finally the young man, it says these words, came to his senses. And I think there always needs to be a come to our senses moment in our relationship with God. And he came to his senses and he recognized the foolishness of what he had done and the decisions he'd made and how he'd squandered his inheritance. And it says that he sheepishly returns home, humbled, and just thinking that the only thing he could ever ask of his father was that if God, Father, if I could only just be a servant in your home, that's all I deserve. And he kind of goes to his dad that way. And so I want to pick up the account in verse 20 of Luke chapter 15, and it'll be up on the screens for you as well to follow. It says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, he threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. And for me, there are four things that I want to be the foundation of our discussion here that I see in this text. And the first thing is I see about the father's heart is that the father never loses hope. Even though the son went against every one of the hopes that the father had for him, the father never lost hope in his son. And that's something we need to understand when it comes to God the Father. It doesn't matter what we do, he never loses hope for your life, the purpose that he has for you, the vision that he has for your life. He never loses hope. The second thing is that it says that the father was looking out for his son. The father is always looking our way. He's always looking our way. Sometimes I think people think that God's up in heaven waiting to strike us with a lightning bolt every time we mess up. And yet that's not the example of what I see the father's heart in here. You see, but let me understand, God's not passive about sin. That's why he sent Jesus to die on our behalf. Sin has to be dealt with. We need to repent of it when we do those kind of things. But the father heart of God is found in this, is that it says when the father saw that his son was coming from a long way off, he ran to meet his son. He didn't just stand waiting for his son to come crawling back to him. Jesus tells us that the father, when he just caught a glimpse of the son on the horizon, which meant that he was looking for the son. His eyes were searching. He was looking. He was expectant that he would see his son. And he said when he saw his son, he dropped everything and he ran to meet him. And that's the God, the Father's heart towards us, towards you, is that he's looking your way and he's reaching out to you. The third thing that I see in this text is that about the Father's heart is that he responds to our repentance. The son comes with a repentant heart and it says that the Father responds. Sometimes I think we want to short circuit that process. We think, oh no, God's just the God of grace and I don't really need to repent. But no. In this text here, the son repented, and not because the father was demanding he do it in order to grovel for his acceptance, but because the father was glad that his son came to recognize that the problems he was facing were not a result of the father's, were not the father's fault. They were his things. And in fact, he says this in verse 21, the son says, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. See, he understood. He understood, actually, this is mine to carry. And repentance is when I say, I'm actually going to stop doing it my way. And I'm actually going to do it your way, God. And then lastly, it says that the father, because of all of that, seeks to reinstate the son. And he does four things. The first thing is, he says he puts a ring on the finger of the son. It's a sign of reinstated position of authority in the family again. That's God's heart for you. He then puts a robe over him, and the robe was a sign of dignity and value. It says it wasn't just any robe, it was the best robe. And he says the robe, literally in those days, the robe would go all the way down to the very feet. It literally covered all of you. And when God restores, he renews, and it's not just part of us. He does every part of who we are. And then it says that he put sandals on his feet. And the reason why the son had no sandals was because he was in mourning. He was in grieving. That's what you did when, in those days when you had no shoes on. And it says the father was saying to him, no, I'm going to give you these sandals because the day of mourning and grieving is over. It's a new day. That's what God does. That's the father's heart towards us. And then he kills the fatted calf. And it says that they feast and they celebrate. To me, that points to Jesus and the sacrifice that he paid for your and my sins on the cross. And he made a way for us to be reinstated back into that relationship that God the Father always intended. God the Father created you. God the Father made a way for you. God the Father wants to reinstate you where needed. And he wants to see you walking in the fullness again of that which he originally intended. And so the Father declares this and he says, my son was dead and is now alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. And I think that's a great way to segue into our panel and just to hear from them. And the story of the prodigal son, and I know for each of you it's been a you can relate to some aspects of this story, this account. And so I'd love to hear from you guys about how does this impact you? How does this resonate with your story that you've seen about the Father heart of God? John, let's start with you. Let's have a, let's see if you're on. You look like you're on.
Hello? Yeah, there we go. I'm good.
Sorry, technical difficulties.
Yeah, I'm a bit challenged with the microphone. Look, as Matt was talking about the story of the prodigal son, I do remember the part of that story that most echoes to me is when I finally woke up and just realized that, you know, I had to make a relationship about God and just before I became a Christian. And then, you know, and since then, you know, that the Father's heart has just really, you know, restored and redeemed a lot of parts of my life. I'm a very competitive person and strive with a lot of ambition. And, you know, but it's been great. It just reflecting on my own journey, it's been great how God can redeem that inner drive that's inside me and to use it for his purposes and to expand his kingdom and for us to be able to help other people, you know, in our business as well. So.
Brilliant. What about you, Stu?
Yeah, I am. When I look at that story of the son that was lost and squandered the inheritance and then came back to God, there's many things that resonate with me in that story around. Well, I was lost, of course. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but when I was 20, 21 years old and came to faith, despite everything that I'd done. Well, Matt was talking about how, you know, the Father's eyes are always on you. His heart is always there. He never moves. It's up to us. That, of course, is a defining moment of my life when I came to faith. Part of the story that I can relate to is the whole thing around opportunity and how God seeks. The Father's heart is to see opportunity in every single circumstance, regardless of your background, regardless of what you've done or haven't done. Is there's opportunity in everything. It's something that I want to see in my kids. You know, even if it's a tough situation or circumstance that they're going through, there's opportunity there. And,
yeah.
I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that God gives me opportunity. The thing around inheritance, you know, the fact that this is just coming to me now, that God, the inheritance that we have in Jesus is not only for eternal life, but it's for now as well.
Yes, very good.
We have an inheritance. We have power in us. We have that purpose now, and I'm grateful for that. Yep.
Awesome. Daz, what about you?
Yeah, so I didn't grow up in a Christian home either. I didn't come to know God until I was like 26, 27. But often when I read that story, you know, we tend to put ourselves as the prodigal son, but then I thought about it and I was like, what about my dad? Because he wasn't the greatest example, and he was a prodigal son that never returned home. You know, so in terms of reinstating, God reinstated his relationship with me just by me actually encountering him and getting to know him. And then and just seeing that, the domino effect in terms of now that it's with me, there's my kids who are going to be impacted by that. And then, you know, their kids and the future generations after that. So grateful for that.
That's awesome. But why is it that people sometimes battle so much to relate to the Father heart of God? Because we speak about it, we see it, its truth is in there. But when it comes to actually talking about the Father, heart of God in an experiential kind of way. People often struggle with that. Can you guys maybe share out of your own experience, what are some of your thoughts around that, about why people struggle so much in that regard?
Yeah, I'll go again. So for me, I love my dad and he's got a lot of good qualities and it's helped me a lot in my life, but he's not perfect, and none of us are. I went to boarding school for a while, and that really had an impact upon my relationship with my father. I didn't really speak to him much for that time, and just looking at my own dad's life, you know, he didn't really have a close or intimate relationship with his own father, and so it'd be very difficult for him to display that towards me as well. So when my trouble then was just dealing with God in a close way, and just even to call him dad or father, you know, I really struggled with that for a long time. And at a men's weekend away of the church, I really sought to address that, and I did, and God broke through there, and that was really helpful in my, you know, relating to dad, to, you know, God as a father and as my dad, in a much more intimate way.
I think there's two things that link to what John is saying. One is what's modeled to you. Two, you have a choice. You know, my old man is the same. I love my dad. He's a great guy. He's always been there supporting me. He'd fly around the world to come and help me out if need be. But of course, he isn't perfect, and there's areas in his life that I recognize I need to be better in, so that I can model that better for my kids, so that, you know, Jason and Jess, they can do that better for their kids, and on and leave that legacy. But we have a choice as well. And if, as you know, John's mentioned, it's an area identified. He had to deal with it, and God will be there to help us. And so I know that I need to work in my life in the spaces around intimacy and vulnerability and what have you, because from, you know, the relationship I have with my earthly father, that's not something that we did really well. We struggled. I certainly struggle with that. I still got to be intentional about saying, God, you know, mold me, shape me, morph me into something that you want me to be, because it's not something that I've innately grown up with. So you've got to make the decision, and God will help you.
Yeah, growing up in a non-Christian home, I think the reason why I struggled with not knowing him as father immediately is because I heard about him as judge first before I knew him as father.
Wow.
So there was this big transition that had to actually take place to go from from seeing him as judge to father, and that only come out of a authentic, genuine relationship with him. And then over time, I was actually able to flip it and actually see him as father first before I see him as judge.
Brilliant. You know, in the story, we see how the prodigal son tried to outrun, you know, the purposes that the father had for him, you know. And I think sometimes we can do that on our own journeys. We can try and outrun God's purpose for our life. But the reality is he's always a lot closer than we realize. And so I'd love to hear maybe some, if you've got some examples around that where that's been, yeah, that's.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just one thing. There's a list of things that I can do and say. But one thing would be passion, right? I didn't know God till I was, you know, in my late 20s. And it's like, what was my passion? Leading up until that point, it was just rugby. So I traveled everywhere for rugby. I came to Canberra for rugby, went to the UK for rugby, went back to New Zealand because of rugby. Everything I did was around this idol that I had called rugby. That was my passion. And then my career became my passion. So everything I did, that was my God. And then it wasn't until afterwards where I actually realized, like, and even now in this season of life, God's actually changed my passion to equal his purpose.
Wow, very good.
So it's not until those two things actually met and became one that I actually found so much more peace, and I knew I was heading in the right direction.
Excellent. Stu, what about you?
Yeah, along the same lines around career and profession, for many years, and it's still something I struggle with now, is being overly aggressive, if you like, around pursuing profession and wanting to get to the next level and what have you. And whilst it's good to work hard and, you know, have that ambition to move forward, I think if it's something that compromises or jeopardizes your relationship with Jesus and he's not first, that's not a good spot to be in, and that's problematic. And so that's something I still have to continue to work on, is to hold back a little bit and not look for every single opportunity around work, because there's pride that underpins that about getting to the next level, and so submitting, understanding God's timing, and not always wanting to do things in my own strength, I think, is something I'm continuing to learn.
John, I know some of your stories similar to these guys. With as a young man, you had aspirations about the Olympics and sport and those things. So, just do you want to share a little bit around that stuff?
Oh, look, if you're willing to have humility and to put God first and to chase after what He wants you to do, then just a real blessing comes from that. And I've found it very difficult and painful to let go of some of the things in my life that have been standing in the way of that. But God will bless you if you have the courage to pursue what He wants you to do.
Well, that kind of leads me on to the singles repentance, because I think one of the things we see in this story is the son repents. And it's not a word we hear much. It's not a very popular word in today's time. But can you share something where the power of that has really been evidenced in your life, that thing of repentance where you can say, man, I can see where that. Do you want to share, John?
Sure. So, repentance for me happens all the time. So, I've been very blessed in my business. My wife and I started it about 8 years ago, and we've got about 70 people working for us now. And that's just been a whole series of God's, unmerited favor, giving us opportunity that we've been able to take up. In my worldly way, I want to just see this is how awesome am I. So pride's always sort of bubbling there under the surface. And so, something that I need to, daily repent of, and not of, mostly daily, I just want to think, wow, I'm so cool, I'm so awesome, wow, this is amazing, I must be so important or so good that God's chosen me to do this, but really it's just God, just unmerited favor. But also, I want to be humble before Him, because He can't use people that are proud.
And I just want to vouch what John has said, because he's literally been in my office at times, as a man, just literally doing exactly that. And tears flowing, just a genuine encounter. So he's not just talking theory, he's talking reality.
Not too many tears.
Yeah. Do you need to make an appointment this week, do you? What about you guys? Repentance and examples of it in its power in your life.
Again, I think it's a daily, it's something we've got to do daily. I think if we are intentional about seeking after and diligently seeking the Father's heart, repentance is part of that process. And it can't be something that occurs every 2 or 3 weeks. Really, if we aggressive and intentional and deliberate about wanting to understand and become what God wants us to become and seek after that holiness, repentance is something that occurs, should it be occurring every day, because it's acknowledging that our ways are not the right way, that He's the way. Yeah. And so it only comes through repentance and acknowledgement of, listen, we're not going to get it right. He's the way, the truth, etc. And so that's got to be a daily thing.
Yeah. So we see in this story here, amazing grace is shown by the Father in reinstating the Son off the basis of that. And Daz, how have you experienced amazing grace in your journey?
I just got to look at my wife and kids, to be honest, and just see God's incredible grace. But that's because when I come to know God at 26, 27, I was actually in a really bad relationship. And it took me 2 years to actually leave. God wouldn't leave me. He loved me too much to leave me. But He had nudged me and be like, you need to leave, you need to leave. It took me 2 years to actually fully repent, And then I remember being 29 and I was like, God, I would love to be married by the time I'm 30. And I met my wife when I was 29, got married. I was 30. So, God is good. But, repentance to me is a doorway that we walk through. And, it's not a waiting room, right? It's something that we walk through to actually be able to receive His love, receive all the goodness and the good things that He has for us. We just have to actually repent first.
And so the church, I think, has got such a big role to play in helping on this journey of discovering the Father's love. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. This is out of the Message. It says, there are lots of people around you who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. I'm sure we've kind of all experienced that, But it says, but there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. And I think there's something there about the church helps us grow up. I've certainly experienced the value of that in my own life. I'd love to hear just your thoughts about just the value of the church in your faith journey of discovering the Father's heart and how it's helped you grow.
Yeah, so I shared before about my struggles with my own dad, and I wasn't a Christian until I was 25 and didn't grow up in that sort of environment, so I found being part of the church incredibly helpful. And, you know, and having a relationship with Matt and Jill, for us, you know, seeing their kids grow up and you know, be devoted Christians that love God and serve in the church faithfully, you know, it's been something that I want to aspire for my kids. And so, you know, seeing Matt and Jill and seeking their counsel and wisdom, we've done recurrently over the years, and even this year, we keep going back to them and asking the questions. And so, you know, those guys have been very generous with their time, and it's just been, you know, a wonderful example to us in our journey of being parents.
I think on that score, people who come and see us about parenting, sometimes I think they look at us because we normally get them laughing about things, you know, because we laugh and they think, oh, is this it? No, it's okay. It's called parenting. It's all right. So we just love just trying to normalize some things and just help people. And it's been an absolute privilege to do that with these good friends of ours as well. What about you guys? Just how's the church helped you?
Well, for me, like, you know, not growing up with a good father figure, I've found that I've got like lots of spiritual dads. You know, like Pastor Matt, there's Stu Clark, I have another family friend. There's just so many. And because we weren't created to do life alone, you know, and we can actually learn and grow from one another. Like, I know these guys personally, and they're amazing men. And the little take-homes that you get, you know, and just for youth, as an example, there's lots of fatherlessness. So we actually, as a church, we provide, you know, a safe place for young people to come, yeah, where they can actually have some positive male role models and actually help them journey along with them, not only with God, but in life.
So. Fantastic. Well, I think we could go on talking, but I think there's been some amazing wisdom shared by these guys. So can we put our hands together for them and just thank them for that? That'd be great.